This is the Mile High Five podcast with Carl Jensen and Doug Cunnington. We have authentic conversations about the journey to Phi, health, happiness, and some very odd tangents. We interview Phi experts, side hustlers, people on their way to Phi, and those who have reached the other side. Join us every week, and if you want the show notes and links and all that other stuff, head over to milehighfi.com.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Mile High Phi podcast. I'm Carl Jensen with my co-host,
Doug Cunnington.
So, Doug, today we're going to talk about fitness. This is a purely self-indulgent episode, but we do get a lot of great emails and comments about fitness and health. So, we'll each talk about what our goals are, how we've been doing with them, challenges along the way, especially with the holidays, and what we're trying to do in the next couple of months. What's going on, Doug?
It's been a great day, and it's been fun recording today. We've done a couple of them. The thing that I want to talk about today is a new sponsor. So it's pretty cool. This one's going to blow you away. Another listener actually tipped us off about this product, and we're actually pretty serious about promoting products that we actually like. And I know we're trying to promote products that we do find to be truly effective. For example, I know Tim Ferriss says this, and he only advertises stuff that he believes in. So we're trying to follow in his footsteps here.
That's right, folks. We'd like to give a special shout out to our sponsor, Ofarsic by P-Visor. You know, it's not Pfizer, the pharmaceutical company, but visor, like a hat without a lid, but it starts with a P.
Oh, that old silent P. Okay. Well, we've all been there. Those moments when you let one rip and it feels like you've unleashed a gas tornado upon your unsuspecting partner.
Yeah. And let's face it, no one wants to be stuck in a Dutch oven situation. That's where Ofarsic comes to the rescue.
Picture this. You're out a beautiful meadow. You're taking in the fresh air, or maybe you're just hanging out by the hot tub, in the hot tub with your loved one.
Life is good, right? But suddenly you feel the rumble from down under and you know it's about time to get windy.
That's when you reach for Ofarsic. It's like a personal gas guardian angel.
Ofarsic by P-Visor works its magic to turn those gaseous gusts into gentle breezes that smell like fresh baked cookies, campfire, or lasagna. Your partner will thank you and you'll both breathe a sigh of relief. And y'all might even get a little hungry.
So don't let those unexpected emissions ruin your romantic moments or innocent hot tub gatherings.
Head over to milehighfi.com/ofartsic. Again, that's O-F-A-R-T-S-I-C. And start living a life with fewer toots and more smiles. You could save 69% using coupon code Mindy. Mindy, is that right?
I don't know, man, but Ofarsic may cause belching, full feeling, heartburn, anxiety, blurred vision, irritability, diarrhea, balding, pubic hair loss, increased back hair growth, and by the way, consult your physician if your erection lasted more than 4 hours.
Wow. So are you saying this is a substitute for Viagra too? That might be a side effect?
I don't know that either.
Man. Okay. It sounds amazing, Doug.
Anyway, they seem like a good partner, and we're happy to be working with them.
Yeah, I wish I would have had this 20 years ago, or last night in bed.
Okay, so everyone check out the link there. I think you'll be really surprised. Carl, you should come up with some artwork for that landing page.
Ah, nice. I can come up with something.
Okay, so we're going to talk fitness and health, and we recorded an episode back in October, and we talked about what our goals were, and this was like October 31st, and we're going to restate our goals. We're going to go through some of the details and challenges and all that stuff. So my goal was to get to 11 to 12% body fat, and I didn't care about the weight, just wanted to trim that fat.
Yep, and my goal was 15% body fat, lower blood pressure, and a lower resting heart rate.
Just curious, is one of those like the lead domino and the rest kind of follow along?
Well, my main goal is to have the lower blood pressure and a lower resting heart rate. But the way to achieve that is to lose some mass off of my body. So the 15% body fat was just a shot in the dark, but that's not the main goal, I guess. Although you have to lose that to make your heart healthier.
Cool. Okay. Well, the good part is I think like both of us were looking at body fat as like sort of the the pure metric that we're looking at, and then other things sort of happen. Although, I mean, I understand the blood pressure is your main goal. So, cool. Let's talk about the progress. As we all know, the holiday season popped up, and we all got to deal with that. And I knew it was going to be a little bit rough. So my progress so far, I'm virtually at the same spot that I was, about 15% body fat. This varies. And by the way, I think both of us are using scales that use electrical impedance to measure it. Is that right?
Yes.
So it's not super accurate, and it could vary quite a bit. But directionally, I feel comfortable with using it as the metric. You too?
Yeah, I think so. The important thing with one of those scales is to know that they're not, any one single reading isn't going to be accurate, but they're great for looking at trends. And if you're going to use it, I would try to do it at the exact same time every day. For me, it's the first thing I do after I wake up.
Okay, perfect. So to complete the update, so I'm virtually the same, still about 15% body fat. I do have a little bit more muscle. I did trim down to about 13.5% was the lowest that I measured at before, say, Thanksgiving or so, before everything kind of shifted. The good part is I got stronger. I know, like, I'm lifting heavier weights, and I am probably, I have a few extra pounds of muscle. So I'm roughly at the same weight as I was, but I have a few more pounds of muscle.
Okay.
What about you? Where are you at?
Yeah. So are we, is this since October 31st or since a different date?
Whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Whatever you have for us.
Okay. So I am in much worse shape since October 31st because of the holidays. And I went on a cruise, and that did me absolutely no good. There's a ton of food on the boat, and it's all free, so you just end up eating a lot. Despite my best efforts to be very active, I still put on a lot of weight. But since then, it's been going great. Looking at some of my numbers here, since January 8th, I've lost about, 7 pounds. I've brought my body fat down, and this is a little bit outdated since this week. Since this reading was earlier this week, I've brought my body fat down 2%, but I'm still at 21% now. But the big one, one of the ones I'm excited about, is when I got off the boat, my blood pressure was actually 129 over 96, which is no bueno. That is not good. When I took it earlier this week, it's 119 over 76. So again, that's 129 to 119 and 96 down to 76. So that is significant. I've also brought my resting heart rate from 71 down to 66, and I've been measuring my stomach, and that is getting smaller too. So since the start of the year or the end of the cruise, it has been looking good, and I'm on a good trajectory, but I'm not going to take another cruise anytime soon.
What is your target blood pressure, by the way?
What do they define hypertension at now? I think it starts at like maybe 120 over 70. And I think that sounds about right. It used to be 130 over 70, I think, but then they lowered it. So under that, and the thing about blood pressure too is it tends to rise. If you don't do anything to your body, I think it just goes up over time. Naturally, you get plaque buildup and stuff happens. So you want to keep that as low as possible for as long as possible. I think it's probably the most important thing you can do for your body.
Do you drink a lot of caffeine?
I stopped almost all of that. I will have one diet beverage with caffeine in the morning when I wake up. It's like my coffee, and that's it. Then I stop.
Okay. And it's just like a normal soda, like 35 milligrams of caffeine?
Yeah, whatever. I don't even know how much it is, but if you say that, I'll go with it.
Okay. Typically, it's about, 35 to 40 milligrams, I think. And like a cup of coffee is like 100, by the way, like normally.
And what's the half-life of caffeine in your body?
I can't remember. It does vary from person to person, but I think half-life is 6 hours, quarter life, 12,
of course. Okay. Yeah. It's interesting you asked me about that, because at some days I'd have like 2 or 3 and I'd have my last one around noon. So if you extrapolate out that math, it is still in your body and maybe a lot in your body by bedtime. I'm like, why am I rolling around for an hour not able to go to sleep? And it's because I had 3 Diet Mountain Dews. But by the way, this year, Doug, is a diet seltzer water that has no caffeine or sugar.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking over there. You saw me looking. I was like, what? You drinking one this afternoon? Are you lying? You lying to everybody? We see it right there, man. All right. So I was asking about that because sometime in the past, I was heavier back then. So it could have been various things, but my blood pressure was higher. And I was like, I think it's because I drink like a fucking liter of coffee every day. And I just drank a ton of coffee before I came here. Can that make it higher? And they were like, yeah, definitely. Caffeine makes your blood pressure higher. So that could be one thing. I think because you're weighing yourself at a certain time, I suspect you're also taking your blood pressure at a certain time. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. First thing in the morning?
Yep.
Okay. So yeah, when I cut back on caffeine, that helped a little bit. And I'm pretty sure like when I lost weight, that helped too.
Okay.
So
do you have any idea what your blood pressure is, or?
I would have to look it up, and maybe I can look it up on my phone, but it's pretty low. I was going to say the last couple times I've been to the doctor, they were like, I didn't get a reading. I need to do this again. And they were like, is your blood pressure usually pretty low? So I think it was like, I don't remember. I'll look it up. So, but quite low. And I think one time I sat down at the machine at like the pharmacy or whatever, and I sent you like what my blood pressure was.
Yeah.
And it's very low.
Yeah, it's low. And you have a super low resting heart rate as well too. It's like below 60, I think, right?
Yeah, it's usually about 50.
That's nice.
Something like that.
Nice.
Yeah. So a couple quick notes just on the goal. So like I said, I went down to about 13.5% at the lowest. And what I did, I have been lifting weights harder and I've been trying to put on muscle. And again, I don't care about my weight. I probably can stand to put on a couple pounds of muscle, but I tried to time the holiday season with an air quotes a bulk. I wasn't like trying to eat a ton more calories. Basically, I was trying to reverse diet, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, but I've been listening to this podcast called Mind Pump, and basically it's a bodybuilding and weightlifting and fitness podcast. It's a good show. Have you checked it out?
I do. Feed your body and your mind, or whatever their tagline is. Sell DeStefano and some of those other guys.
Yeah, yeah. Adam and yes. Justin. Yeah. And Doug. There's a guy named Doug.
Okay.
So I like him best. He's quiet. So he, or the show, they talk about reverse dieting, and essentially you're trying to improve your metabolism, and you, in this bulk that I was doing, I was basically just trying to have 100 to 500 additional calories than what I need for maintenance. And your body can deal with like extra calories if you have a kind of a very versatile metabolism, right? So just because you eat 500 or 1,000, or sometimes over the holidays, I had like 8,000 additional calories that day. I didn't put on any weight because your body can deal with it a little bit with extra calories, right? If you do that day over day, you're going to have a problem. But if you're slowly just like getting your body to acclimate, the theory is you can improve your metabolism. So my normal maintenance calories per day is like 2,900. Nothing crazy. I'm like lightly active. I'm not doing any like long runs or anything. But the hope is I put on a little bit more muscle. I get my body used to these higher calories. So I'm able to, you know, eat a little bit more over the holidays, put on the muscle, not as a huge amount of fat. And the hope is whenever I am like at a new maintenance level of say like 3,500 calories, that means I can eat more. And then if I want to cut down, right, I can go down to like 2,800 calories, which is just barely less than what I was eating normally, where I eat whatever I want, but I'm like at a 600 calorie deficit so that I'm able to basically eat the same as what I did before, but I'll lose weight. And that's what I'm trying to do.
So I'm kind of curious, do you have any idea how many pounds of skeletal muscle you have? And I wonder how many calories it takes to maintain each pound of muscle.
So I'm using my scale to get this number too. So it's about 130 pounds of muscle. And this takes you down a path that like you're trying to logic us into a certain path, right? So the muscle does burn more calories than like other like weight on your body, right? So muscle burns more than fat, but it's really not that much more.
Okay.
It's like nominal. So if you're trying to do like a calorie for calorie and you're like really trying to track it, this goes back to our over optimization stuff. It's just like, all right, let's just simplify it. And I'm going to try to boost my maintenance calories so that when I cut down to 2800, I'm eating a ton of food. This is great. People will be like, how can you eat so much food, dude? You look like you're slim. And I'm like, well, I worked really hard to like boost my metabolism.
Got it.
So have you heard their spiel on reverse dieting?
I don't think I've listened to that one.
And funny thing, we'll put the definition in here because I actually printed out like some of the details here. And I think I hopefully probably explained it pretty well. You understood what I was talking about, right?
Yep.
And the one thing that gives me confidence in this is like, we've probably seen our friends who are a little overweight and they're like, yeah, I actually don't eat that much. And you look at what they're eating and I'm eating like five times as much as them, yet they're overweight. And it's their metabolism. Like they've trained their body to to be like super efficient and eat and live on a very small amount of food, and they don't have enough muscle. So this is where I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Like I have people in my family that probably have really poor metabolism. They hardly eat any food, you know, and you've seen that too, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. So anyway, I'm giving it a shot. I'll let you know. I don't know if it'll work, but it makes sense.
Cool.
Okay. What challenges have we faced along the way? So Carl, you mentioned the cruise. Let's talk about some of the stuff that you had trouble with.
Yeah, the cruise definitely. And also the holidays, man, there's like cookies everywhere. We even had a cookie party at the HQ. I love cookies and I love sweets. And the funny thing, Doug, I was telling my kid this yesterday, actually, like as a kid, I didn't like sweets. I would, my bag of Halloween candy would sit there and then I'd eventually throw it out, or the dog would get into it and eat the entire bag and one thing. And that wasn't so great for the dog, but I tried to hide it. The dog would get into it though. But anyway, as an adult, like I love sugar, and I try to think of vices, and like I could stay beer free forever. I never really have an urge to drink, but if there's cookies around or there's one, like sometimes the kids will bake and they're sitting there on the counter, I'm like, get these out of my line of sight. I can't take it. I'm going to go for a walk. When I come back, I want these to be hidden. It's pretty hard. Do you have the same feelings towards sugar, or do you find it hard to resist?
Yeah, that's my issue too. Elizabeth, she loves baking and she loves baking desserts. And I, just like you said, like I love them. I actually liked them as a kid too. And I can eat a huge number. Like this is when I was counting calories, like back in the fall and like the cookie party and stuff. Like I would have 8,000 to 10,000 calories more than normal. And I was tracking it the best I could. And I mean, I had to guess, right? Because the cookies are like, they're homemade stuff. So anyway, I can basically eat an unlimited amount. Like I think I could eat a whole batch of like chocolate chip cookies or whatever you put in front of me. Like I can kill it. It's crazy. Really tough.
Yeah, it's hard. So that's definitely a struggle for me. One thing I learned is just to try to have something that's really, really good, but a small dose of it. Like we had some friends over for dinner who cooked us this really nice 5-course meal. And the dessert was this little brownie chocolate thing with a little piece of caramel. And that was great. Like that's all I needed. It was very rich and I didn't need to eat 20 cookies like I may or may not have done over the holidays. Another struggle is kids and the rest of my family. And I admit the problem is probably with me. So if I were left to my own devices, I'd probably bake like chicken for the next week or two and broccoli and just eat that and have Tupperware containers full of it in the refrigerator. This idea is inspired by David Boyer, but I don't mind eating the exact same thing. And it actually helps me because the food is defined. I don't need to think about it. I'm just going to eat this and there's nothing else in the house to eat. But my family, for some reason, hate leftovers. Like if there's something in there, they look at a leftover like I'm trying to feed them arsenic or something. Like, Dad, we just need to make something new every night. Like, it's going to get boring. I'm like, well, we just had it last night. We can have it for one more night. Like, no, I don't want to do that. And we all like very different things too. My youngest one is very picky. She could live on macaroni and cheese and chicken nuggets for the rest of her life and be happy. And I don't particularly want to eat either of those things. So it's a struggle to eat well when you don't have people on the same, and not that they're bad or I'm bad or great, but it's just, we just have different views on food.
No, they're bad. You're good. Yeah. That's on them, you know? Well, and the thing is, leftovers are interesting So we eat leftovers. And there's some foods that are better as leftovers, right?
Agreed, yeah.
And there's literally like a chemical change that happens and it makes them like more savory and better. Think of like your beef roast or beef stew and then chili and other stuff like that, where like it actually is better the second time around.
Yep.
And I'm curious, people leave a comment or shoot us an email about your take on leftovers. I'm great with them. And I love doing exactly what you said. I'll make a shitload of food. I'll put them in trays and they're portioned out. And it's like, yeah, we know what we're going to eat. It's great. I started labeling them in the refrigerator and putting dates on them too, just so we know to, you know, eat certain things at a certain time or by a certain time so we don't waste it.
Yeah.
And do you guys waste a lot of food then because people don't eat leftovers?
Yeah, actually tons of food. We probably throw out this, breaks my heart. Maybe a third of the food in our house gets thrown out.
That's one of those stats people are like, yeah, you know, most families throw out like 30, 40% or something like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It breaks my heart because in college, I kind of went hungry or ate very poor. Now I see us throwing all this food out and it drives me nuts.
Yeah. And we're actually pretty good, even though there's only two of us, like because I'm portioning food out like that and freezing some if we need to put in a vacuum sealer or whatever. Then it's really easy to freeze those and have like prepared meals. And do you have a vacuum sealer?
No, we don't, but it sounds like we should get one.
Yeah, it's a game changer to keep leftovers and stuff like that. So, all right. A couple other issues that I had, you covered a lot, just more parties, more food, more drinks. Around mid-November, I started drinking more. So I was tracking calories from like September to until mid-December or so. And then I was like, I kind of have a handle on what's going on. One of the big shifts was to eat more protein. And I thought that I was getting probably enough protein. I would say, I'm having a protein shake. Basically, I would have a protein shake. I would eat like normally. And the thing is, once I started tracking, it was shocking how little protein I was getting. Do you know how much protein you're getting, Carl?
I try to get at least 100 grams a day, but I don't keep close track of it.
How do you track, or how are you estimating the 100?
Most of my protein comes from protein shakes or cans of tuna fish or like the chicken that they have at Costco. So I just get it from the side of the can or from the protein shake. When I have grilled chicken, I'll weigh it. And then I forgot how much it is per ounce, but I've got it written down at home.
Okay. So when I started tracking, and the thing is, I don't know if you'll do this, but when you start tracking, you'll realize like how far you are off from the actual amount of food you're eating or the calories that you have. And I challenge you just for like 1 week, try to get 1 gram per pound of body weight of protein. So you're probably getting about, maybe not quite half, but you're getting probably like 60% of what you need. And the thing is, don't use protein bars or protein shakes. Eat real whole food. You will be so much more full. It is a fuckload of food, man. It means, right? So if I'm telling you get 100, what's your target weight? 160, 150?
Yeah, somewhere in between there.
So aim for 160 and, you know, we could quickly do the math. We'll make it easier, 150. For each meal, you need 50 grams of protein. You have been measuring out your chicken breast or whatever, so you know that's a lot of food, right?
Yep.
And the other thing, again, I was the same way. I've been telling a couple of our friends like, hey, track your protein. You're going to be shocked at how little you get. It sounds like you're accurate with 100. Like, I believe you're getting 100. But they're like, oh yeah, I eat a couple eggs for breakfast. Do you know how many grams of protein are in eggs?
7 per egg?
Yeah. 6 or 7. Yeah. So it's like, I'm having like 2-3 eggs. Like, that's not that much, yeah. Right? So basically, if you try to get the 150 grams, and I'm aiming for like 170 to 200 grams of protein. Like, you have to be eating protein all day long and really trying to do it. And I'm telling you, try to do it without eating the protein shakes and processed stuff, and you'll be so much more full. And it's amazing, dude. Like, I feel fucking awesome.
So does tuna fish and canned chicken, does that count as processed food? Is that something I can eat on this diet?
Yeah, you could eat that.
Okay.
Yeah, so processed being like your protein shakes.
Got it.
So don't get away from the protein shakes. They're not as filling as you think.
It's so hard to get the protein though without them, but I guess I just got to buy more chicken. Buy those big bags of rotisserie chicken from Costco. You ever buy those?
I haven't yet. I'm a canned person right now, but it looks really good. I mean, you could use that. And you're right. It will be really hard because I'm telling you, get 50% more and do it from Whole Foods. Like, don't cheat. Just do it for like 1 week.
Okay.
If you can.
So what are the things I'm trying to do now is I'm more focused on loss than strength gains, trying to get my blood pressure and all that to a normal thing. Do you think I should try to do both these things at the same time, try to get that much protein with trying to lose the weight?
You will probably lose weight by doing this.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you're going to be full. Like, you're going to be full all day long. And there's a good chance, if you want, you could probably, like, lift harder. I told our friend Chris, and he was like, yeah, I was way off on the protein levels. And he started lifting more. He was like, I didn't have energy before, and now I have way more energy lifting.
Okay. And this is Chris from Golden, right? We know a couple of Chris's. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That's what I thought.
Chris from Golden. He was on the show. He's the Indiana Jones of the FI space. And yeah, it sounds crazy. And the thing is, I know I would say the same thing. And I've talked to a couple people and they're like, dude, I get enough protein. I have my protein shakes and blah, blah, blah. And they're always off. Again, I think your 100 seems reasonable, but when you stop having the shakes and you have real food, it's, again, tremendous amount of food, and it's going to probably change the way you eat.
Okay. I'm going to buy a bag of rotisserie chicken on the way home from the podcast. I passed by Costco.
And what I've been doing, so I've been getting like ground turkey or grass-fed ground beef, and I'll brown up a couple pounds, and I'll make some old-fashioned oatmeal in the morning. And then I'll put in like 150 to 200 grams of the ground beef or turkey into my morning oatmeal and just throw some salt in there. So it's like a savory, it sounds crazy, but like imagine just like a, I don't know what word, but imagine just like, it's a base, right? It's like rice.
Yeah.
So it's just a base and I'm able to get like a ton of protein in first thing in the morning, and then it sets the stage for the rest of the day.
Okay, that actually sounds pretty good. I'm going to try that as well.
Yeah, throw some hot sauce in there, a little cheese, whatever you want. You can put some eggs in there too. Like, yeah. Just get past the, like, we're used to oatmeal with like fruit or sugar or whatever.
Yep.
Like, put beef in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will do.
Your family's going to be like, what are you doing, Dad? You're crazy. Who told you to do this? Don't tell them it was me. Don't tell them it was me. Blame it on somebody else. Okay. That was long. What is next? So we got some challenges, but we're going to take a little bit of a detour here. We're going to come and talk about our plan and what's coming up. But Carl, you had a section in here that I want you to introduce.
Yeah, we're going to get serious here for a minute. I'm going to talk about my mental health, and I'd appreciate if listeners have any suggestions, send us an email. What's our email? Carl@milehighfi.com.
Yeah, hot Carl, I think.
Hot Carl. Carl@milehighfi.com. If you send it there, it'll come, or leave a comment in YouTube. But yeah, Doug, I was listening to a podcast where these people were talking about attachment disorder. And my thought was, wow, that sounds just like me. And Doug, you suggested we read off a definition of attachment disorder. So it states, this is a broad term intended to describe disorders of mood, behavior, and social relationships arising from unavailability of normal socializing care and attention from primary caregiving figures in early childhood. Such a failure would result from unusual early experiences of neglect, abuse, abrupt separation from caregivers between 3 months and 3 years of age, frequent change or excessive numbers of caregivers, or lack of caregiver responsiveness to child communicative efforts, resulting in a lack of basic trust. So I was thinking about some of the things that go on with me and some of the issues I have dealing with other humans, and they are lack of eye contact. I've been told by many people, Ellen Donegan, like, dude, you got to make better eye contact. Fear of strangers. And I used to always think that used to be a confidence issue, and maybe it still is, but maybe that's related to this as well. Lack of affection towards loved ones. fierce independence, like not wanting to rely on other people. And that's probably been some of my struggles as an adult too. I don't ever want to have anyone do anything for me, even though it could be better, like outsourcing some of these tasks. I'm like, I got to do it myself. I don't want to have to depend on other people. So I'm like, man. And then I was thinking, so we had Diana Merriam who went through this Hoffman process thing. And, you know, actually I'll get back to that in a second. Yeah, my dad had a lot of struggles in his own childhood. He had a messed up childhood. I don't know all the details of it, just little bits here and there, but I don't think he was ever able to completely recover from it. And the interesting thing is I don't want to throw him completely under the bus, because at age, when I was about 14, he completely turned a corner, and I think I know why, but I'm not going to say it on this podcast, but he became a much better version of himself. And I'll back up a second and say he also had struggles with alcohol and bipolar stuff. So he had a lot of things really stacked up against him. And maybe as a young kid, he was sometimes pretty cruel to me. Like he had some pretty bad nicknames for me. The one I'll say is a little asshole. So yeah,
that's no good.
Yeah. And I'd be bad, but not that bad. Like there's no way I'd call my 10-year-old kid that word. It's pretty horrible. So I think I might have screwed me up a little bit, and maybe I'm making excuses for him. But like I said, he became a great person later on. And I don't even tell my kids anything about this because he was such a wonderful like grandfather to my kids. They would have no suspicion of any of this kind of stuff. But it doesn't mean that I still don't have some existing trauma from it. So the thought I had, especially after talking to Diane and some other people, is, man, I should probably go for some therapy. And I know that Hoffman process isn't really therapy, but I think that might be able to help me. But I think I should probably talk to someone. I think I'd probably become a better person if I talked to someone and worked through some of these things. So I don't know. That's pretty much it. If anyone has suggestions from the audience, I'd appreciate it. But yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
What's holding you back from doing therapy?
I'm trying to figure out the best course of action. So the Hoffman process and Diane talking about that is really what started me to think about that. And when you look it up, that isn't supposed to be a substitute for therapy. But on the other hand, I know it's helped a lot of people with issues like this. I guess it's just the going back to the attachment therapy. It's being vulnerable and opening yourself up one-on-one to another person. Although I'm kind of doing that to the whole internet and world right now, it seems kind of, it's uncomfortable, but I'm sure once I got into it, like everyone I know who I've talked to about this, who has had similar issues and has gone to a therapist is like, oh yeah, it's completely life-changing. I'm a much better person as a result of it. The key is one thing that gives me a little bit of anxiety is some people have said you have to find the right therapist and you got to go through a couple different people to find someone. And I don't even know how you know someone is working for you or working well for you, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Right. I have a couple thoughts. I haven't done therapy either, but I think when it's come up on the show, we're both like, oh yeah, we should do that. But I think we have similar hangups. A couple observations. One, I think the Hoffman thing could be cool, but like that's such a big thing. And how long is a week or 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's 1 week.
Okay. So it's like such a big hurdle. And certainly there's like an easier way to do it. And I think, you know, we talked to Dragon in a recent episode, right? Justin. And he talked about, I was like, oh, how do you find a trainer? And I was like, can you, you know, what should you do? Should you like, you know, test out a handful of them? And he's like, yeah, probably have a little chat with them. And he was like, you'll probably, you know, not get along with some people. You'll get along with others and then go from there. So I bet it's that easy. Like we set up, I mean, I would say the same exact answer that you did, but I'm like, I bet it's pretty easy. Like now there's like apps and stuff. So you could like set up a half hour or whatever their consult, like their initial thing is, probably get done with it. You probably meet 5 or 6 people in a couple of weeks or so and just say, all right, I'm going to spend a bunch of time on this. That's the goal for these couple of weeks. Like clear your schedule of other bullshit. And so you don't get like distracted and all that stuff. And then you'll know like, hey, that person was kind of an asshole or that person, like I felt better like right away.
So I wonder, and I should just Google this, but the metric, like, what is the metric? Is it that you feel better after you've left the appointment? Like, how do you know you found someone who works well for you? Because I imagine there's going to be a lot of, you're not going there and you're not going to have happy discussions. So it might not be a pleasant experience in the thing, but eventually you should feel better as a result of it. And I don't know when that happens. Is it right after, or is it like later on? I don't know if that makes sense. What is the metric?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But I think you're right. Yeah, you'd have to chat with a few different people.
I wish I could just chat with ChatGPT and be done with it. And who knows? Maybe that'll be a thing sooner. Maybe you need another person. I don't know.
Have you put in like, hey, act as my therapist?
No, but maybe I should. Maybe there's a ChatGPT for that.
Yeah, probably. They'll just ask you a handful of questions. I think you could just turn on like the voice thing and then you could talk to it and it'll talk back to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and you want people to perhaps give you some tips. So yeah, if there's anyone that has tips on that, right?
Yeah. And is this going out before economy or?
I can't remember. I need to start trying to pre-schedule so we know, but I'm not sure.
Okay. If you see me in person and want to talk about this or have any advice, yeah, I don't know if this is going to be before or after economy, but... Or if you're going to be in Longmont, yeah, let me know and let's talk or send us an email.
Okay. So quick note, buy me a coffee. So we have a buy me a coffee. This is our little donation area where we share a little bit of extra content. And sometimes we publish some short videos like in advance for those folks. We need to get back involved over there a little bit more. I know over the holidays, we haven't posted too much. I think we put pressure on ourselves. I'm like, I want to do a really good update, but really... We just like post a picture and do a little bit more there. So yeah, buy me a coffee. What, you got a couple drafts working over there, right? You're going to send them out soon?
I do. The people who have bought us coffee, you're going to get lots of good stuff soon. And if you come to economy or any of these other events, which I'm going to talk about in one of these buy me a coffee emails, let us know because we have some great swag. We have a lot of t-shirts, stickers, asparagus samples. I've got a couple jars of asparagus, pickled asparagus, in my refrigerator waiting for these events. And I feel like I'm missing something. We have beer tickets for one of our events, which is a, kind of the antithesis of what we're talking about on this fitness episode. But we'll let it go for one weekend of revelry.
And yeah, basically we, you know, use the money to produce the show. In addition, we typically like just give a bunch of stuff away. And you know, we do the t-shirts, we have stickers, we have a handful of other things. So we're not going and buying new Teslas with it. That was other money, right? You didn't take it from the Mile High Fi account?
Yeah, that was separate money.
Okay. So you can check it out if you are interested. If not, the show's still free. Don't worry about it. And let's keep on moving with this one.
Yeah, cool. So we're going to talk about our plans, what we're going to do from here on out to keep on going with our fitness goals. Doug, one of the things I sense is since the holidays are behind us, I think we might not be where we want to be, but we're both on good trajectories. I know I'm feeling better about myself than I have in years. Actually, this morning I got my blood work back from the thing and it was surprising. I got my ApoB test and testosterone and they were both better numbers than I thought they would be. Besides that, I see my other numbers like blood pressure and stuff coming down. So I think we're on a good trajectory, but not quite there. So let's talk about our plans for how we're going to get there.
So I'm not on the same trajectory as you. I'm sort of trying to figure out exactly what I'm going to do. But I'm probably going to aim for something like 3 or 4 weeks of bulking, basically that small surplus of calories per day, about 300 to 500 or so, and then a week of cutting of 300 to 500 per day. So I'm just kind of like right very close to my maintenance number of calories. And I think when I'm not sure what weight I want to aim for, maybe like 165, which will be a couple more pounds, and then switch over to cutting and then really switch it over. So I do 3 or 4 weeks of cutting at the caloric deficit and then a week or two of maintenance or bulking. Like I mentioned, I have been eating more whole foods and more protein, and occasionally I will have a protein shake, but only if I'm like going to miss it for the day. Or let's say we're going to go out, we're going to go hang out, we're going to have some pizza. It's pretty hard to get a lot of protein on pizza. Like you have to like buy an extra chicken breast or something like that. So if I know it's going to be a struggle, I'll boost it with 30 or 40 grams of a protein shake. And I'm going to keep lifting. I'm going to come back in a minute after you go, but the lifting has been good, but I still have some nagging injuries, which I'll talk about in a second.
Doug, I heard a rumor about you that I have to ask you about before I talk about myself. As we both know, the Mr. Longmont and Mr. and Mrs. Longmont, like body contest is coming out. It's like the Mr. Universe of Longmont. And I heard that you are going to participate. Is that true? Like, I think it's May 15th or something like that. There's going to be like there's a talent portion, but then there's one part where you oil yourself up and like flex, like Arnold Schwarzenegger and pumping iron. Like, is this really true? Are you going to participate? Or?
I'm considering it. Okay. I'm considering it. Yeah, I'm trying to find a good oil boy. You know, remember like on Dumb and Dumber?
Or gal.
But, you know, my wife won't like that.
Yeah, we're open to anyone. Yeah, they wanted to hire them on the bus at the end. And they didn't see the job offer for what it was.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity for them. But no, Doug, I'm not going to. I don't want that role, really. But maybe Georgie the dog could do it. I'm not sure how that would work out. But
yeah,
I do. If you do end up participating in that, we'll post a link. It's going to be on YouTube, I believe. But anyway, back to me. One thing I've been doing is severely limiting my alcohol intakes. So I'm always I always default to no. Like yesterday, Mindy and I went to the Niwot Tavern, which has a great beer list. And we both looked at it and looked at each other and shook our heads, said, yep, we agreed we're not going to drink tonight, so we're not going to. So I've been keeping track of that and severely limited to probably just like social situations. I'm not going to have one. Mindy and I aren't going to have one with dinner. We're going to have one or two maybe at a Super Bowl party or maybe at economy. And that's pretty much going to be it, I think. The thing I see with alcohol is I don't see a whole lot of and I was never a big drinker before, so I'm not going to see tons of benefits of not drinking, but my sleep is definitely better after I don't drink. And the other thing I noticed, like I would usually only drink on weekends, but then I'd see all my metrics balloon up, like my blood pressure would shoot up, my sleep would just dive in quality over the weekends. And now that I'm not doing that anymore, I just see the same trajectory continue instead of having to recover from drinking over the weekend. So I'm going to continue to do that. Just continue to focus on strength training, although that's not my super focus now, as I'm trying to get my heart health better and just continue to eat better, more salads, less cheeseburgers and pizza. Although all this food talk in our previous podcast made me hungry for an Urban Field Detroit-style pan pizza.
That's so good.
Oh, it's so good. Man, we shouldn't talk about it. It's going to drive me nuts.
So I want to talk about your focus on weight loss, but not strength training. So why not put on more muscle?
Oh, I still do the strength training too. I want to be clear about that. But it's not like right now at the gym, I'll walk a lap and then I'll do like a set of pull-ups and push-ups and maybe something on the back machine. But I don't think, like if you want to bulk up and do that kind of thing, you have to eat a lot of food. And I don't know, can those two coexist? Can you lose weight and put on strength at the same time? And even if you could, is it a good idea? Is it better? Here's the bad O word. Is it better to optimize for one, like optimize, get the weight off and then pivot and then change your diet and then eat more for strength training? And I know we talked a little bit about this a moment ago about just upping the protein, and I might actually be able to do that, right? Is that what you would say, or what would your advice be in this situation, Doug?
I think you might lose a little weight by just doing the protein thing that I was talking about, but here's my, I guess, issue. You're saying you want to get down to 15% body fat, and yet here you say, after I reach my weight loss goal. So which is it? Are you trying to lose fat or are you trying to lose weight?
It's body fat.
Okay. So you shouldn't like fuck your weight. Your weight doesn't matter, right? So when it comes down to it, I think it'll probably be better if you do like lift weights and try to put on muscle, even if you're at a caloric deficit. Like what's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah. And to be clear, I'm doing that. Like I still try to go to failure on my push-ups and pull-ups and everything else, but I'm not sure. I guess I would do it a little bit more or maybe focus on it more if I didn't eat all those cookies over the holidays.
What do you do for your legs?
Usually just squats or deadlifts, but that's something I end up skipping a lot just because I usually do them at the HQ and I'm not at the HQ that day. I'm making excuses for myself right now, but yeah. That's probably like deadlifts are what you should do for like muscle gain, right? Like the number one thing you should do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I was going to say the other thing, you know, listening to Mind Pump, it sounds like it's really good to switch your programming and what you're doing specifically every, I think they say like 4 to 8 weeks or something, because your body gets used to it. Like it gets used to doing the same like number of reps and the same, like if you're doing like low reps, high weight, your body gets used to that. So like after, you know, 4 or 8 weeks, like maybe you do lower weights, you do more sets and you just change it up a little bit. So I'm just repeating what I've heard. So like, but it makes sense to me too. And I think, I don't know. We'll see how it shakes out, I guess.
No, I do appreciate the advice and I'm curious to, I feel more confident that I know what to do now than I ever did. Although maybe I actually don't know what I'm doing, but we'll see what happens. It's fun to continue to experiment. One thing I realized, and I think we might've said this when we were talking to Brad Barrett, is I've been working out the wrong way most of my life. Like if you're looking for strength gains and hypertrophy, all the work is done in that last one or two reps, right? And if you're not going to a place of failure or close to it, where I think Brad said, when you lose your form is when you want to stop. Like for the longest time, I never really did that. So the workout was, I won't say useless, but yeah, mostly useless.
And I mean, the cool part, I think, like you're just maintaining, like most of the time. I mean, I'm trying to like nurse an injury, which I'll talk about here now, but basically like I could work out like once a week and kind of do like one or two sets of something, not really push myself, not go to failure. And like, I think I pretty much maintain the muscle and like stay the same, which is not bad, but like if we want to do more, then we have to do a little bit more. So the issue is one that I've talked about for a long time. So it's my elbow. It's golfer's elbow. So it's like on the inside of my arm. Tennis elbow is like on the outside. So this is on the inside. And a lot of muscles and ligaments and everything like connects right here. And I think it was from like years of doing a lot of pull-ups. And it was always a little bit sore. It's really flared up more on my left side than the right, but both are a little bit sore because I have been doing deadlifts and I've been like focusing on it and like went from, you know, just a little bit of weight in the bar and like trying to get the form down to a lot more. And it feels horrible. Like whenever I lift up the bar. So it's like you said, the thing that engages your back and like these big muscles and your glutes and all that stuff. And I made great gains, but like my elbow hurts a lot. And I'm like, I don't want to lose the gains. It's hard to take a break, right? Because I'm just like, I have looked up several exercises and I should potentially go to a physical therapist, but I'm pretty sure they're just going to show me what I've looked up on YouTube and self-diagnose like an idiot. But basically, I probably need to lay off and not do anything that works this out for maybe like 6 or 8 weeks and just see what happens. But the thing is, it's your elbow. It's like my forearm and that muscle right here. So it like everything you do, except maybe a couple body weight things, like will use that muscle. So I'm sort of struggling because I'm like, I need to like heal that up. I think I could actually like lift more if this was better. And I stopped doing pull-ups. I used to do a shitload of pull-ups. I stopped doing them because it's like so, so acute, the pain right there in the elbow.
Yeah, that sucks. I hate getting injuries. I, I thought of you because I was doing curls at the gym and I went for it. I was feeling really good. So I did 40 pounds on each arm. And the next day I woke up and my elbows hurt. I'm like, oh my God, I've dugged myself.
And it's rough. And it's like just overuse. And it, you know, there may be a couple other things that I could try to do. But yeah, I'm struggling with that a little bit. And that's why I'm like, the plan is X. And I would love to make more progress with my legs and glutes. I know you're a glute guy. You know, you always talk about that, Carl. And the thing is, I made so much progress, but I do need to just pause and take a break and maybe focus on something else for a little while. But it's hard to do when you're like, I have been making progress.
I think I was watching something and this came across on my YouTube feed. I'm not sure what I was Googling. Maybe you'll know after I tell you, but it was from a physical therapist. And I think it was a real one. He might've been a fake one, but he sang the praises of the shake weight for elbow pain. Do you think that could help you? Have you ever tried that?
I've tried something similar to a shake weight, but it was an off brand and it was at that Mile High adult store in town here.
Oh, up there on Main Street, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. You have one of the, I saw it, it was like one of those frequent buyer cards, like you had like almost 69 punches of what I saw.
I know, I think I get all kinds of free stuff. This is a family podcast, so I won't say what it is, but yeah.
So as a weird transition, we do need to have our sponsor. We got to mention this. So our buddy Rich, we haven't done this, the ghost bed ad yet, have we?
No, we haven't. Hopefully Ghostbed doesn't ghost us after that segment.
Yeah. So as professional podcasters, we can easily transition into an ad. And Ghostbed is awesome. Rich is a listener of the show, reached out to us, and he was like, hey, we could do some cool stuff together. And we checked out some of the products and really, really enjoy it. One of the big things that they have and they're known for is the cooling, I don't know if it's a gel, but it's like a cooling layer in the mattress there. And both of us are hot sleepers. And it's, you know, we talked about it before, but you're going to check out one of the beds, right?
Yes. You know, I have a mattress coming, so I'm super eager to try that out because now I have a chili pad and that thing requires some maintenance. It actually heats up the room because what it does is it removes the, like you can't cool something for free. It's got to take the heat away. So it actually heats up the room. And lately, mine has become unreliable. Like every once a day, every 2 weeks, it'll fail and not work. Then I'll wake up all sweaty. So it would be super nice to transition away from something like that. So I'm super curious to see what this mattress will do.
And Ghostbed is awesome. They have a lot of different mattress options and they actually have a quiz on the website. So if you head over there, you can take a quiz and help you understand, you know, which mattress is best for you. There are, I think one of the ones we were looking at is the Venus Williams Signature. And there's a couple of different versions of that one, but it's definitely on the premium side. It looks super nice. And I don't know, did you do the sleep quiz?
I did not do that. I just looked at all their different mattress offerings and what they do have on there, Doug, is if you look at those, they'll say what their firmness is and what their coolness is and all that. So that's how I picked mine.
Okay. Very good. And the cool thing is they do have a 101 night at home sleep trial. So you can test it out and see how you like it. It's a family owned business with 20 years of experience or over 20 years of experience. They have over 60,000 five-star reviews and patented sleep and cooling technology.
And they also have a 20-year warranty, which is pretty outstanding. I don't know if I've ever had any mattress last 20 years.
Yeah, you're pretty rough on mattresses from what I remember.
Absolutely.
So you can go to ghostbed.com/milehighfi with code milehighfi at checkout and save 50% site-wide. They have bedding, they have accessories, they have all the stuff you need to sleep.
Cool. And if this comes out before economy, Rich is going to be there, including at our opening party. So stop by and say hi to Rich and ask him any questions you might have about Ghostbed.
All right, Carl, we talked about what the plan is moving forward. When should we check in again? What, like, how fast are you trying to do things?
Let's see. What are we now? We're in mid-February now, March, April. And Doug, we should actually, so Doug and I are going to have a trip soon, which will probably be in the past once this publishes, but we're going to go to Arizona to hang out with Pete, Mr. Money Mustache at Cul-de-Sac, and they have an epic gym there. So we should plan to do some workouts there. But back to your original question, I would think maybe about 45 days from now, maybe at the end of March.
Okay. I don't, honestly, I don't know, because I am in a bit of a, I'm at a spot where I'm like, I'm confused on what to do. So maybe you can give some input. I'll just think out loud here, so it'll be a little disjointed, which is exactly like the whole podcast, by the way. I just think out loud. It's not edited. So we will be at economy. So that's kind of a cool, you know, time frame. It's a little bit soon, but the thing is, I have been told, and when we talked to Justin Dragon, right? I mean, I think I'm at a point where if I actually cut calories, I could trim down to the, you know, 12% body fat in 6 weeks or something like that. Like, I think the stat is you could go down maybe like 0.5% or 1% per week, something like that. Have you heard anything like that?
Yes, I think you're right.
So it's fairly aggressive. I would be hungry. I would be irritable. It wouldn't be the funnest time, but I think it's doable. And the question is it just like a vanity thing, which it is, right? Like, I'm roughly healthy. My blood markers are in a good spot, but it's a little bit of a challenge to try to work on this. And that's where I'm like, it would be really cool if I just didn't rush it and took a really long timeline, but like each month, let's say I drop 0.5%. So my thought is maybe when I get there, it'll be much easier to maintain because I gradually got to that point versus trying to rush it in 6 or 8 weeks. So what do you think?
If you should do the cut up to economy or?
Yeah, basically, should I do it sooner and try to do it in a short time frame or just do it over a long time frame?
Yeah, I don't know. You want stuff to stick, so I'm always against doing something that's super extreme because that's probably not a habit that's going to form and last. So I'd err towards doing something more gradually, unless there's going to be a Mr. Economy contest, a Mr. and Mrs. Economy contest. Then maybe you want to get that cut done. You don't want to be up on stage looking like you do right now.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to think about it. And I do want it to stick. And I think, you know, gradually doing something is better. That's usually my approach rather than to rush it. But I could see inserting like a week or two of like way fewer calories, like really trying to cut for like a week or two. And maybe that's an approach that takes a little bit from both. Because I mean, I think I probably could drop like a percentage or two in a couple of weeks. And I mean, the thing is, no one will fucking notice, right? I mean, like I'm wearing a sweatshirt, right? You won't notice, I don't think.
Well, it's just because it's cold out. If it was summertime and you were doing the podcast without a shirt on, like you usually do, or one of your tight spandex shirts, I think I would notice and it would be different.
So I'll have to think about it, and it sounds like I'm not committing. So I'll just say the long timelines, that buys me time.
Maybe this is the excuse to finally put in production the mesh tank top that we had threatened to sell on the website.
Yeah. Have we found a supplier for that? Can your daughter crochet something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, maybe. Or like a macrame, if you know what that is.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
I don't know. It's like people make shit out of ropes or something like curtains. I've seen Google. I have no idea what the hell it is.
Oh, but okay.
Someone I know does it, and they're always posting about it on Facebook. And okay. You've seen it before, probably. Like, I have no idea where you would have seen it. But
so she can make me one?
Yeah.
Okay. The holes are big enough, so my nipples are visible, right? Because that's what we're implying here.
I'll have her do a crochet pattern that. Yeah, I don't know. She'd have to like open it up at that point, but she's pretty skilled. I think she could do it.
Okay. How will we measure it? Will there be like some sort of a, I don't know, like a pattern, right? There's some pattern and there'll be like holes and it's like arrows pointing to nipples.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe like little starbursts around your nipples, and I'll have her make it like out of some spandexy yarn so it expands. Like the shirt will be like 2 inches high, but then you'll stretch it out and put it on, psh, like one size fits all. It'll be great.
That sounds perfect. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll work on it. I'll chat with her soon.
Yeah.
Actually, why don't you talk to her first? Because I think if I just come to her with the idea, she won't know that we talked about it.
Yeah, that might be a weird conversation. She's already suspicious of you, so it would be even worse at that point.
Okay, we'll check in probably in like, I don't know, another quarter. We'll do one of these updates. If people have questions, if things you want to suggest or want us to update you about, let us know so we can tailor it just right.
Yeah, and if anyone really, really wants to see Doug's progress, the secret word at the economy opening party is asparagus. So if you come up and whisper that in Doug's ear, he will take his shirt off. Do it at your own risk.
Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Five podcast, and I'm Doug Cunnington, the Balder host, and Carl Jensen is the cool, sexy one. If you dig the show, please do three things for us. Number one, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number two, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using, and that way you won't miss a show. And number three, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer, this show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. Carl and I are just two guys with microphones that sit in my basement and talk. So we'll catch y'all next week. If you could only eat one cuisine for the rest of your life, what would it be?
So this is probably a pretty stupid question, but when you say cuisine, is that like Italian food or like American type of food or like a class of food, like pasta, or what do you mean by that?
Yeah, that is a stupid question. Yeah. Yeah. I mean like American, Italian or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. If I could eat, so I actually came up with two answers to this, Doug. If it would magically be healthy, like I'm pretty simple. I just like a really good cheeseburger and some fried stuff. So I would just eat like some American junk food if that could magically be healthy. But since it's not, I would probably pivot to something like Thai food. I really like a good green curry. And who knows, now that I'm saying that might not be healthy either. I don't know. Lots of carbs in the noodles and stuff.
Yeah. And I think it has coconut milk typically, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Which is typically high in fat, delicious, high in saturated fat. And yeah.
Okay, I guess I'll pivot to fish, some kind of seafood diet, because I don't want to die of a heart attack when I'm 52.
And yeah, I mean, I'm pretty simple too. I love burgers and I love pizza. I like all sorts of food, but like if I'm going out, those usually are pretty darn good. And we've talked about it before. I like all kinds of pizza and I like all kinds of burgers too. It doesn't have to be like a smash burger. It could be like, you know, something more from like a steakhouse and like thicker or whatever. I have a huge amount of leeway for those simple cuisines. And it's really, it's like American bar food.
Yeah. Simple food done really well. Like a good cheeseburger and not overcooked, maybe medium rare. That's how I take it. How do you take it, Doug?
It depends. So yeah, for, you know, a thicker burger, maybe like a medium rare, but I think I do slightly prefer like a smash burger style where it's like kind of, you know, super thin, but very crispy.
Have you been to the new burger place in downtown Longmont yet?
No. Oh, wait. Yeah. I have like 99 something or other.
Yes. Bourbon and beer, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had a cool shot that we did with a couple friends. It was like a pickle shot. It was like a pickle vodka shot or something like that. And it was like pickle juice and I don't know what whiskey was in there, but our friends Chad and Sandy, we hung out with them and had a burger there. It was pretty good.
Cool. I have not been there yet, but I'll try it.
Yeah. Very simple. We're just simple folks. And the thing is, like, from the health standpoint, I could do probably, you know, fish is not bad. I'm trying to think. I do like a little bit of variety. I can't eat the same thing, like the same chicken or the same fish for like 5 days straight. But once you get past that, like, I want to get like something new. I don't want to eat like the same thing over and over again. But you were making fun of broccoli not too long ago. I'm all right with it. I can roast broccoli or Brussels sprouts and I'm good with it. I've like convinced myself that I like them. Didn't like them too much as a kid unless, do you remember that microwavable broccoli with cheese sauce?
Yes.
I like that. But of course, like the cheese sauce, who knows what the fuck that was? That wasn't cheese, right? Then it didn't come out of a cow.
Yeah. Who knows what that came out of? It came out of some machine at some plant in Minnesota.
So anyway, bar food. I think that's, well, we would both eat bar food.
Yes.
Simple.